This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Iconic from Jim. That's a good crowd pop, though, too. It's a great crowd pop. How long do you think Jim Nance was working on McElroy Has His Masterpiece? I'd say at least 3 hours during the tournament.
Probably like, because of how Sunday went.
Yeah. Like, it was like going back and forth. He's like, dude.
The Masterpiece is a Jackson Pollock at this point, but... Yeah.
But, like, do I need to start thinking about something for Justin Rose?
That's your topical art humor for the day.
You've got some splatters in there, some of those cigarette butts dropped into the painting.
That's what Sunday was.
Oh, man. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I have still not recovered from yesterday. What a day. This Masters was awesome. It's up there for me, the ones I've seen. I'm 26, turning 27 at the end of the month, so don't give me like something in the 80s. I did not see it. This in 2019 with Tiger were some of my favorites. The difference was with Tiger, I just enjoyed Sunday. It was like, Yes. Oh man, he's going to do it. This is awesome. And there were some struggles. There was some stress, whatever. Molinari had to hit in the water, but eventually we got there and it was kind of this casual.
But also Tiger wearing red 18. On a Sunday means it's on business.
And it felt like old Tiger that I really hadn't seen much. And it was sort of this March to 18. The same cannot be said about Rory McIlroy yesterday.
No, especially at Augusta. And
oh, man.
The struggles he's had there encapsulated all within one day. And that became probably one of the craziest parts about it is it was all in one day.
Yeah.
The chaos of will he, won't he, to add the drama to the career Grand Slam. By the way, it required incredible days 2 and 3 to get himself into the conversation, which Kev Sylvester was with us on Friday, and he said before day 2 started for McIlroy, Rory has the potential to get himself back into the conversation at any moment's notice.
And he goes out there and what, shoots, I think, a 66 for day 2?
Yes.
Goes to 6 under after botching the end of round 1.
And then
yeah.
on Saturday, storms through to take the lead.
Yeah, and to be fair, he was going to have a really, quote-unquote, comfortable lead going into Sunday if it weren't for a 40-foot birdie putt from Bryson on 18 to end Saturday.
Which is insane.
And then the day started off in the most Rory fashion possible. Double bogey on 1. Let's go. And you're just like, no.
We're going to do it, like it the hard way today.
Not like this. And, I mean, ultimately, he storms back. Birdies 3 and 4. DeChambeau kind of falls off. Pretty much as quickly as he arrived. Mm-hmm. He ultimately finishes the day at 7 under. McIlroy, you know, goes on to win it. He's not even really in the conversation. Justin Rose is the guy who storms back. By the way, you know, on hole 10 at the turn, the guys that finish 1-2, McIlroy is at 14 under. Rose is at 7 under. They eventually play in a playoff. That also tells you, number one, how good Justin Rose played, how bad McIlroy at times was playing. The shot at 15 is stunning, but before that, it's the double bogey on 13, the bogey on 14, even arguably the bogey on 11, where you're just like, dude, come on. Like, it's there. It's yours. You're the guy.
Right. And I think that was probably what makes it the most interesting is because of the fact that there was struggle within the day. And it kind of allows you to see the beauty of sports once again, which is even when you screw up, you put it behind you and you figure out what's going on in front of you.
Yeah.
And you try to just make up the ground that you lost. It's not about, in his head, will he, won't he? It is, that stunk. Let's try to erase that.
Well, and you look, and maybe the perfect hole for that is 15. It's after the double bogey and the bogey on 13 and 14. He took a 6-iron yesterday, or 7-iron. The clubs flipped from Saturday to Sunday. And he just curls it over the water onto the green, setting himself for an eagle putt. But to that point, as great as that shot was, he misses the eagle putt. Because of course he does. Because that's Rory McIlroy. And on 18, it's a perfect drive. The hardest part, Rory, get it in the fairway. Oh, you did it. And then you hit it in the bunker. And you still set yourself up for a makeable putt. The chip wasn't awesome. It wasn't perfect, but you set yourself up for a makeable putt. What does Rory McIlroy do? What does he always do? He misses it.
Well, you can't say what does he always do if he has a career grand slam.
But I mean, in the context of where we're
within
at that
Augusta,
moment.
Though.
And in that moment, you're going, of course he's going to miss it. That's Rory McIlroy. But then in the playoff, he does end it. And to a certain extent, was it the prettiest Masters win we've ever seen? No. Is it going to go down as an all-time great performance? Absolutely not. He made 4 double bogeys on the week. It's terrible. And yet no one will be able to take away the fact that he did finish with a guy like Scottie Scheffler. Still somewhat there, by the way. Scottie didn't have his best stuff, but he finishes 8 under par on the week. You know, DeChambeau was there at the start, including taking the lead at what? The second or third hole, he had the lead. And Rory just... He didn't let the mental mistakes get him. You didn't really see this utter, complete, and total collapse. There were moments where it felt like it, but then there were moments of brilliance. We've already mentioned the shot on 15, but even the birdie on 17 to seem like he had locked it in. It's just, it was so legacy-defining.
Yes, and I think that that's very interesting for Rory to be able to finally get that career grand slam, for him to finally get the green jacket, becoming only one of 6, a rare company, in order to do so. And the first one to do it in 25 years since Tiger.
First one to do it in 25 years since Tiger. And then to that point as well, and for Rory specifically, his first major win in 11 years. You know, it's not even just that he was looking for the green jacket. He was, of course. He wanted to complete the career Grand Slam, something that, you know, another great golfer of his and Tiger's generation, Phil Mickelson, hasn't been able to do. He's finished second a lot of the U.S. Open. He's never won it. But it was also the fact that his last major win was 2014. He got 2 of them in 2014, Open Championship, PGA Championship, but that was the last year he had won a major.
God, time is so weird.
And you had...
Because here I'm thinking, 2014, that doesn't sound
right,
so bad.
Right, not that long
ago. Right,
no,
it's 2025.
Yep.
Get wrecked.
And, I mean, he even, you know, the disaster at the U.S. Open last year, where Bryson does beat him. It was just, it was everything you'd maybe want in a Rory McIlroy major winner at this point in his career, where it was just like, yeah, I've aged 35 years, I need a cigarette, I need to go take a walk. And we'll meet back in 20. Like, that was the feel of it. And I wouldn't change a thing. I would not change a thing about this. I really wouldn't. I thought it was perfect. I really did. That was some
was
of the most
probably
fun I've had
perfect.
Watching live
You're
sports.
Right. I do think that there was a lot to it of, like, the stress probably makes it even sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of leads into a lot of takeaways, really, of... How much drama are we willing to watch? How much stress are you willing to go through to watch something like this? We live in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Stress is a normal thing when I'm watching sports. And Rory McIlroy is a nice little national perspective of that, of you just want him to have it, and he's not taking it. The end of the Masters was kind of akin to like the second wild card in the Eastern Conference. Nobody wants it.
Nobody wanted it. Nobody wanted it.
So here's Rory finally trying to at least just get it done, and then he can't. It's a playoff, and at that point, finally, he's able to win it. And it really does speak to drama in sports is great. This is why I hate dynasties. This is why I hate teams that are always too good. It's because of the fact that it gets boring.
Yep. This is why we watch is stuff like this where
it's drama.
Even if you weren't a big golf fan, there's a part of you probably paying attention to social media going, did he win it? Did he do it? Did he do it? Did he do it?
I'm not going to lie to you. So ready? That's me.
Yeah.
I was paying attention at that point because I had seen tweets from you or Jeremy or Joe or Brian effectively all saying the same thing of Rory's taking years off of my life.
Yeah.
Get it done.
That's how it felt too at the end.
That was the entire day.
Like, man, I'm rooting for you, but like I'm really kind of mad that I'm rooting for you.
I'm kind of mad that you're doing this right now.
Yeah. It was just
which you should be used to that. Everyone around here should be used to this. Every single one of you that watched around the area should be used to the stress of cheering for the person that you want to cheer for and how stressful that it's getting. As a matter of fact, you should have been there chilling outside, shorts, with a pina colada, and just saying, all right, this is normal.
This is where I live.
This is where I live. Everything about this is normal. So you're being a little dramatic when you're posting on social media, this is taking years off my life. Bro, you cheer for the Bills.
Yeah.
Willingly.
Yeah. I do that.
We all do. Anyone listening, this is where you live. Watching Rory McIlroy, all I have to do is replace the terms football for golf and Bills for Rory McIlroy, and we're at the same normal amounts of stress.
And you can argue there's a lot of similarities to them. The Bills, you could argue, have had multiple times in just this run here, this 5-6 year run, where they should have at least been in the Super Bowl. This year, of course, you can count it.
And then even historically.
13 seconds. Historically, you go to wide right.
You had four times to do it, and the Bills would also, kind of like Rory on 18. You cause the stress.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get it done. So it's nice, though, that in this sense, the part that's different is there is a happy ending.
Yeah.
For those that like Rory McIlroy, there is a happy ending. That's the part where we don't live. That's where we actually get kicked out, evicted, and told live on the streets, scrub. Mm-hmm. But like I said, the stress levels, no. These should be normal for you.
I was locked in, man.
Very, very normal for you.
But you know what, though? It was normal, but that was part of it, too. Like, if you're a Rory fan or you know, obviously now living in Buffalo, you do expect the rug to be pulled under
yes.
You do. You expect...
Again, that's where you live.
The ending.
Shorts, pina colada, hang out.
But I think that's maybe why I appreciated how much it meant for Rory to win. And this is not a new thought. I saw a lot of Bills fans seeing Rory's immediate reaction going, that's how I'll be when the Bills finally do it or when the Sabres
right.
do it. So, you know, nothing new. But like that was my immediate thought, too, was that was a happy ending.
Yes.
You know, there was a moment where you're like, man, he could like – I mean, he's not going to, but he could retire and we're good.
Yeah.
He's not going to, but like, it was the same with Tiger in 2019. There's the end of the documentary.
Yes.
There's the end of the movie. Tiger
whatever
has years
happens
afterwards.
From, whatever happens is whatever.
Yep. Rory's going to have years afterwards. He might win more majors. We have no idea what this pressure off his back is going to do.
Watch him come back and win it again all over again.
We have no idea what this is going to do to him. But the documentary, the period of his career, of these 11 years of, he was still... inarguably one of the greatest players on earth and could not win those majors, could not specifically win the Masters. His collapse in 2011 and having struggles at Augusta. And then, of course, you have the U.S. Open loss last year and some of these other ones, I think an Open Championship as well. There's been the struggles for him. And for it to finally come due, it's the same with the Bills. If the Bills eventually win a Super Bowl, which I do believe they will with Josh Allen, I do – still believe him and Lamar are too talented to not walk away with at least one.
Right.
There is going to be a documentary, not for Baltimore, for Buffalo. Baltimore, you have two already. But for Buffalo. but there will be a happy ending to it. You can watch Four Falls of Buffalo, that 30 for 30 that ESPN yes. did, and not leave it going, oh, I'm in a way worse mood than I was 2 hours ago. You know, right? you can rewatch 13 seconds and not go, yeah, that's where my life peaked and plummeted all at the same time. It doesn't have to be that anymore. I still have a tough time. I love rewatching old games. Before most seasons start, I will go rewatch a lot of the highlights from the previous season. I enjoy doing it. I did it when they were bad.
Right.
It is always difficult for me to watch the playoff losses, though, especially now, because there isn't the happy ending of, oh, but at least we have 2020, or at least we have 2021, or whatever.
Right.
We don't have that.
We don't.
And it's why, like, even like for some of these Sabre seasons, I'm not even talking about cups. I'm talking about playoffs. It's hard for me to, like, root for Tage Thompson to have 50 goals. I want him to for him personally, but I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, I can't wait to rewatch those, like, highlights, you know, in the dog days of summer. Because I'll be like, it's in the middle of a 13-game losing streak. It's a nice goal, though. Like, I can't.
You sounded so depressed saying that.
Like, I can't do that. Or now for Rory, I can watch some of these highlights and the lowlights. And laugh at him and go, yeah, but he got in 25. That's good.
Yes. It is, again, I do love, though, that he was able to get this done because of the fact that people love the story. It's mm-hmm. like you always say, you are here for the story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of why we're all here, is we're here for the story. It's why I was mad when March Madness went in chalk
mm-hmm.
throughout the tournament. Because you like a story.
And then you had to kind of scrape and claw and find one.
You have to find a story at that point. That's why we all do this. It's an escapism and it's a story. You don't want to read the story as a kid, read a story of a book and it's just the kingdom is the kingdom and nothing happened to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Everything stayed the same.
The good guys always won and there were no problems ever.
There was no drama ever, and everything is normal.
Mm-hmm.
That's a terrible story. It's the Chiefs running the freaking AFC.
Yeah. Patriots before them.
Exactly. Dynasties? Garbage.
Dynasties become garbage. I think that's a big part of it.
Very true.
Dynasties, because before the Chiefs win their first Super Bowl, they had the heartbreak.
Yes.
D. Ford lining up off sides.
Yes.
They should have gone to the Super Bowl that year. They eventually do become the evil empire.
Oh, yeah.
The Patriots really never had that moment.
No. Well, no.
Bledsoe gets hurt. Brady comes in. They're immediately good.
They do lose in the Super Bowl to Brett Favre with Drew Bledsoe at quarterback.
Oh, no, that's right. That's right. Okay,
so there is a little heartbreak injected.
So the Belichick-Brady Patriots never really had the heartbreak. The Patriots themselves.
The Patriots as a franchise had.
That's right.
Tony Eason plays in a Super Bowl and gets absolutely wrecked by the 85 Bears.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So oh, no, not Eason. Oh, my God. I had my Patriots quarterbacks mixed up there. I don't even remember who their quarterback
was. Grogan?
I think so. But, yeah. Why did I say Tony Eason? Probably because he played
for him at one. It's close.
Yeah. He probably played for him at one point. Anyway.
No, you're right. 85 is Tony Eason.
Oh, my God. Look
you
at me go.
Nailed it. You nailed it.
That was
good.
Before I was alive. Look at me go.
There you go.
I know my history sometimes. And then I question it.
Do you know their other quarterback on their final roster?
No.
Tom Ramsey. Grogan got hurt that year. He was on IR.
I was going to say, I'm not going to know that one.
No. It's okay. No.
That's okay, though. I got it right. Then I thought I didn't.
Then we brought you back.
Then I was back. So, yeah, there's been heartbreak for the Patriots franchise even so. Before they had that run. But now, Patriots fans can never be allowed to talk about it because they had that run.
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs fans and all that heartbreak that they'd had leading up to it. No, that's all gone now. You don't get that opportunity to say, I was alive for this. Yeah, and? What you got now? Shut up.
No. Update. It was Grogan and started in the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
Eason was on the roster. Grogan does get hurt, but he's in the Super Bowl.
Okay, so that's why I had it mixed.
Yeah, there we go.
But they did both play.
They did both play.
Okay.
Eason went 0-for-6.
Yeah.
That'll do it. But, yeah, there was heartbreak. And, you know, the dynasty I always look at, too, for becoming the villain is the Curry Warriors.
Yes.
When they were coming up, there was this.
They were oh, my God, you guys are trying to form your big three, and it's all homegrown drafted?
Homegrown, and you're playing a different style from everybody. It's the you're not dunks. You're not the big guys. It's these long threes where you're just like, okay, this is how we're playing now. It's run and gun kind of style.
And then they broke the game.
and then they broke the game, and then they add Kevin Durant.
And then they really break the game.
And then what could have been a really fun rivalry, them and Cleveland, kind of quickly became, oh, Cleveland can't match up with these guys.
Nope.
And Cleveland's better than anyone in the East because of LeBron.
Not when you have four options, yeah.
Yeah. And so dynasties always become the bad guys. That's just the nature of the game. The same would be true for the Bills. If you replace the Chiefs,
look
with the
Bills. Look at the AFC East right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of boring.
Yeah. There's really no one challenging
Buffalo.
The Dolphins
every now and then will give you a little bit of a drama rush.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. It's boring.
It's boring.
Patriots, Jets, you're boring. Dolphins, you're also boring. Sometimes you're not.
Well, yeah, they're boring in the sense of once the season starts, you're like, you guys are bad, as always.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the offseason we're like, oh, probably won't work, but maybe.
Yeah, the Patriots are actually the ones not being boring.
Yeah.
What's up with Miami and the Jets, though? What are they really doing?
Mm-hmm.
What have they done? Nothing. Boring. So, yes, just to circle back on this of, like, what it means and, like, I don't want to necessarily say, though, that, like, even Tiger Woods, with his run of dominance,
mm-hmm.
I think it's because there was a personality there within that it wasn't as boring. But it's not like he won every single major when he stepped on the golf course.
And it was a lot like the Curry Warriors or even the Jordan Bulls, where it was just – he looked so different from everybody. The way he played, having to change golf courses, and just how dominant he was, there was something entertaining to it. I would argue if the Chiefs still played the way they did when they started this run mm-hmm. in 2018, I think people would still like him. It's the fact that they've gone to defensive, not the big plays. You know, Mahomes doesn't look like the same quarterback. It's a lot of
kind
late
of shoddy
game
sometimes
luck.
Offensively.
Yeah. I think that's what's led people to not like them. The Patriots were like that forever.
Yes.
And you get bored of that almost immediately.
And then, even in their later years, yeah, there's a 13-3 Super Bowl win in there.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, which is, like, I mean, that's what causes it. And I think that's because we've had this conversation, too, of, like, why do certain dynasties, like, have that aura about them? I think it is how they're played. It is how they're won. Jordan was late game heroics by him. He's also a guy that was scoring like 40 points a game in the playoffs.
Yes.
You know, he was a force of nature. Curry and the Warriors were arguably forces of nature, playing a game very differently from everybody else. Tiger Woods playing a game very differently from everyone else. Where now the Chiefs are just, yeah, they're really well run. They don't make mistakes. Everyone else makes mistakes around them. Woo.
Woo.
This is so much fun. It's why Buffalo and Baltimore are so much fun to watch because you're having Alan Lamar still making the absurd plays that you go, there's maybe no one
being
in NFL history.
Being the ones to will them to win.
Yeah, there's maybe no one in NFL history that compares to them.
And just to circle it back, though, I just more or less wanted to clear it up of like, I don't know if Tiger Woods was necessarily boring when it happened, though. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of it has to do with also personality.
Oh, yeah.
The focus, the engagement, the pop that people would always be ready to see from him. I don't know if Tiger ever really became a villain with how good he was.
Outside of his personal life, I would agree.
Yeah.
He had the personal stuff, but in terms of on the course?
On the course.
Never. I don't think he ever really hit that period. I agree with that. Because then it quickly became we were all rooting for him post-injuries mm-hmm. and post-personal life.
Right.
It's a curious thing with like these legacies and the dynasties and such. And on that, this was really my big thing after Rory had won. Number one, I'm addicted to the chase. I think we've all talked about that with the Ovi stuff.
Right.
Just a few weeks ago, him breaking.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
Record.
We just talked about a chase.
I am addicted to that. And you mentioned it and I mentioned it. It's the chase, it's the storyline that gets me into sports.
It's also how.
You know, I like the fact that Alex Ovechkin looks older than he is. The gray in his beard as he's going out
the
to
gray
win
in
there.
His hair.
Yeah. With Rory, looking back on it, I kind of loved that he didn't win in a runaway and kind of shot himself in the foot a few times. I loved it because that's
how
it felt like it should happen. And so on that, And on the legacy talk, we've already put it to Twitter. We got to hit a quick timeout here. But kind of the question for the day, 803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump in there. Which athlete needs a championship to help cement their legacy of their own? Whether that be, you know, Rory has now won a career Grand Slam. He already had majors, but he wins the Masters. We already have some athletes that we talk about regularly that need to do it. So for you, who are the guys that need to win one to cement their legacy? Again, 803-0550, the number two call. But before we take our first time out, do want to let you know to join us in the fight for cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. Not a rider? You can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal. Visit WGR550.com for details. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.